My name is Anthony Valentine. I do serve as an elder at Vintage Faith Church in Cicero, New York. I was here a few weeks ago. It's crazy and feels good to be back so soon. Thank you for having me. The passage we're going to look at today is essential, I believe, to our understanding of the book of Proverbs. If you have a Bible or have your phone, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, and we're going to read our passage. This is the word of the Lord. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this morning, help us to consider the warning. Help us to see your warning not as condemnation, but as grace. Grace upon grace. Lord Jesus, I pray that you move in the hearts of the people in here today. And especially as we consider this passage, I think of any in here who have despised wisdom, who've hated knowledge, who have not loved the fear of the Lord. I pray that your spirit will turn their hearts and their minds toward you. Lord, we love you. We were all and are simple people. We need your wisdom. We desire your wisdom. We pray this all in your mighty, mighty name. Amen. So we're going to begin today by kind of going back to Proverbs 1:7. I just want to remind you of where you were 2 weeks ago. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when we look at our passage today, we can't disconnect it from Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, if you are looking in your Bible, you're going to see Lord is capital L-O-R-D, and when you see it in your Bible with all caps, that means it's speaking of God's covenant name, Yahweh. So when we talk about fear of the Lord, we are talking about the fear of Yahweh. Not some God of our own understanding, but fear of the God of the Bible, like we just confessed. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who spoke the world into existence. the God who parted the Red Sea, who crumbled the walls of Jericho, who led his people with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of smoke by day, the God who will judge the living and the dead. This is Yahweh. This is the fear of the Lord. This is who we are talking about, the God who holds all things together and is before all things, the God who separated the day from the night and the waters from the dry ground. The God who dwells in unapproachable light. When the people of Israel in the Old Testament heard his voice, they begged that they didn't have to hear it again, lest they die. We are talking about a holy God. And that same God is so inclined to love for you, for his people, that he sent his only Son, Jesus, into the world to carry the weight and penalty of the sin of his people. And in Christ, we can approach this awesome, majestic God with confidence and boldness. And we can relate to God as a child relates to a loving father. But I just want to make clear, when we say the fear of the Lord, we are talking about a God who leads you and loves you and protects you with unrivaled, unmatched power. And this creates in us, as believers, a holy fear, not a terror fear, but a holy fear. You know, we live in an age where the popular level Christianity that is out there they love the tenderness of God. They love the love of God, but they kind of take this holiness part of God, this majestic, this strong part of God, and they push it to the side. And in so doing, just cause great harm to the faith. In the novel, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, author C.S. Lewis is kind of wrestling with this idea through allegory of, hey, God is holy and majestic and strong and loving and good. And he has his Christ figure character, as you know, if you've read the book or watched the movie, called Aslan. And Aslan is a lion. And there's a scene in the movie where you've got Mr. Beaver talking to Susan, and I'm going to spare you all the details, but Susan hasn't met Aslan. She's just hearing about this Christ figure. And she's asking questions to Mr. Beaver, like, who is he? And he says this: Aslan is a lion, the great lion. And Susan says, oh, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. And Mr. Beaver replies, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Lewis captures that idea that God is powerful, he's strong, and he's good. And this is the fear of the Lord. This is what we're talking about when we say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. Now, to make another connection, which I'm sure you guys did in week one, 1 Corinthians 1:23 to 25, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Christ is the wisdom of God, wisdom incarnate. So when we think about wisdom today and all throughout the series that we'll be in together for the next 4 to 5 months, we need to frame it as Christ is the wisdom of God. And as we just saw in 1 Corinthians, the world looks at the cross, which we just talked about, how the cross is the foundation for the Christian. And the world looks at that and says, folly, foolish, foolishness, get that out of here. But Christ and the cross is the wisdom of God. To reject wisdom is to reject Christ. Let that sink in. To reject wisdom is to reject Christ. And to reject Christ is to reject wisdom. Jesus Christ is the beginning of wisdom. Today's section in Proverbs, believe it or not, it's gospel. It's pure gospel. Not only is it gospel, it's a bit of turn and burn gospel, so buckle in. It's got a bite to it, but it's gospel nonetheless. So you're going to see the first of three speeches today from Lady Wisdom. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs is personified as a woman, and all the women said amen. It's personified as a woman. And speech one, which we are looking at today, is wisdom's warning. So it's a warning passage. There's some grace and some hope in it, but the bulk of today's passage is nonetheless warning. So let's look and see what wisdom looks like when it calls. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. So the first observation when we look at how does wisdom call is that wisdom calls publicly. This is very public. Look at the words. Cries aloud in the streets. This is not hidden. This is not some secret thing that human beings have to look for. It is crying aloud in the street. It is in the marketplaces. It's at the entrance of the city gates. It's in the noisy streets. Wisdom is not hidden. It's out there for all to hear and all to see. It's not a lack of clarity that is the problem with wisdom. It is the ignoring of wisdom by people that is the problem. And for a moment, as we consider Christ as the wisdom of God, let's look at just some of the similarities between Christ preaching and what we just read. There's a scene in the Gospel of John. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the celebration. All the Jews, they're celebrating the Feast of Booths and just God's provision to them in the wilderness. And some say there could be upwards of 100,000 people around the temple, in the temple courts. We don't know what the numbers were, but we know this. It was public. And Christ stands up in the middle of that moment at the end of the feast. He says this, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So you have a very similar proclamation as we just saw in wisdom. It's crying out. Jesus is saying, come to me. He is wisdom. And if you do, you will receive the Spirit. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And when we look back at Proverbs, we see, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my Spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Our passage in Proverbs today is gospel. It is the beginning of wisdom. It is the gate of wisdom. And it'll get clearer as we go. I also want you to note, listen to the emotional language that we just read in the rejection of wisdom. The simple love being simple. Scoffers delight in their scoffing. And fools hate knowledge. Like, this is heart emotional language. This isn't, they didn't understand that wisdom cried out and they just weren't smart enough. No, this is heart language. Have you ever considered, brothers and sisters, have you ever considered how powerful the affections are? And the emotions, and the rejection of Christ, or the rejection of wisdom. I often think we always believe that this is an intellectual pursuit, and it's partly. We have to understand the gospel. We have to understand wisdom. But at the end of the day, the Bible says it's a heart issue. That the rejection of God is a heart issue. Listen to how Jesus puts it in John chapter 3. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Jesus is coming into the world to save a people, to offer himself. It's God's love. And people reject him because they love darkness. Why? Because they love sin. St. Augustine wrote a book that really has influenced much of Western culture. The book is called The Confessions, and he wrote it in 400 AD. And he's got this story in there. Actually, before I get there, the book is literally a prayer back to God, and it's his life recounting how God's hand was on him his entire life, even when he denied God. And he tells this story about when he was a young boy, and him and his friends were stealing pears from the neighbor's pear tree. And they weren't even eating the pears. They were just stealing them and like throwing them to the pigs or something like that. Didn't even want the pears. Just kind of delighting in the folly, in the crime. Listen to what he says. And maybe this resonates with some of you. Maybe where you've been, maybe where you are today. He says, "I loved my own undoing. I loved my error, not that for which I erred," so not the things he was stealing, "but the error itself, a depraved soul, falling away from security in you," that means he's speaking to God, "to destruction in itself, seeking nothing from the shameful deed but shame itself." This is the human heart. This is why at some point, you and I rejected wisdom, rejected Christ, not because we didn't understand, because we loved our sin. And this is also why in the book of Proverbs, it talks about repentance in our passage today. If we go to verse 23 again, go back to Proverbs 1:23. If you turn at my reproof, this is a repentance idea. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. So that Solomon today is framing the entrance, the beginning of wisdom with repentance and turning to the Lord. And you're going to see this more as the passage unfolds. So wisdom is calling out in the person and work of Jesus. This is how wisdom is speaking today. It's the gospel. It's the ministry of reconciliation, which you were all a part of in your jobs, in the markets, in the streets. And wisdom is crying out through you to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is good news. This is really good news. He's going to bring us into some bad news here in a moment. But sit on this for a minute. Like every warning in the Bible, every warning is always bracketed by but. While you have breath, there is still time to turn. As we move on, refusing to turn leads to destruction. Proverbs 1:24-26. Wisdom, this is Lady Wisdom calling, continuing the call. Because I have called you and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. That's tough, right? That's strong. That's a strong last verse, 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. Also implies that the people who were hearing wisdom's call were laughing at it. So here you have the response of wisdom saying, I will also laugh at you. And it gets harder. But again, brothers and sisters, friends, this is not wisdom being unclear. This is not a lack of understanding. The people heard, they just did not respond. They mocked, they laughed. The call to turn to Christ, the call to actually turn to true wisdom, is not to be trifled with. It is not one option among many in this life. It is the only grace that you will ever be offered if you don't know him, is the wisdom and the call of Jesus Christ. And here we have the voice of wisdom saying, I will also mock you. I will also laugh at you. This kind of brings in tones of Psalm 2. If you know Psalm 2, we're going to look at this. This is a messianic psalm. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord holds them in derision. So again, in Psalm 2, it's saying somewhat the same thing. And you have this picture of the kings of the earth saying, I don't want these bonds and these cords of the Lord. I don't want to be told what to do and how to live. I don't want a strong Lord that I would have to fear and listen to. Get these shackles off of me. And the rest of it says, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. This idea of derision is this. A lot of kids in the room, a lot of parents in the room. Imagine a five-year-old boy or girl, one of your children, who you discipline, and they're having a really, really bad day. And so the kid kind of gets really strong and kind of jacked up and is like, I'm going to tell you, and runs out of the room in rebellion and saying, if you discipline me, mom and dad, you're going to rue the day that you discipline me, right? This is what it means. The Lord hears this and he holds them in derision. It's laughable. It's ridiculous that the world pushes back on the God who made the heavens and the earth. The tone increases. A little more here. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. And here's the key verse right here. If you're looking at this, this is verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. All of the judgments we're reading in this section today are judgments on the unbeliever who rejects Christ. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Friends, I know in a room this size, we're at a church. I know this church. Most of you are believers, but I know in a room this size, there's some in here who are not, and you're here because you're wrestling with maybe who is Christ. What's actually happening here? What maybe somebody's sharing the gospel and you've heard the word preached and you're kind of on the fence. And the message for you today is to jump in. To reject Christ is to reject wisdom. To reject wisdom is to reject Christ. Christ wants all of you, not part of you, and he doesn't want to flirt with you. He wants all of you. You need to jump in with all your mind, body, and soul. Because there's great danger in not. Again, the gospel is not one choice among many. The consequences of rejecting the gospel are grave and serious. Listen to this quote from Harry Ironside about this proverb. He says this, the wisdom which you now despise will then mock your hopeless wails. What can be worse for a lost soul than to have to remember in the abyss of woe gospel messages once indifferently listened to? That's the complacency. The Word of God once treated as a subject unfit for serious consideration. And then to have to cry in despair, Jesus died, yet I'm in hell. He provided a way of salvation for me, but like the fool that I was, I spurned his grace until grace was withdrawn. The door of mercy was closed. And now I am in the wrong side of that closed door forever. I know that's chilling. I know that's heavy. But that's what the Bible says. Wisdom calls. Jesus calls. It's a serious matter. It's not to be trifled with. We are talking about your soul and your eternity. At the end of what we just read in Proverbs 32, and it says, the complacency of fools destroys them. Don't be complacent. If you are on the edge, on the fringe, don't be complacent. The Bible speaks in many different ways about complacency to the message, complacency to the gospel. Oh, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that in a year. I'll do that when I settle down. For now, I just want to live and party and live my life. Well, you might not have tomorrow. There's no guarantee that you have tomorrow. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. What is holding you back? That's what you got to ask if that's you, if you're here kind of on the fence. What is holding you back? When you turn, God will pour his Spirit out on you. All right. Thankfully, our passage ends on an uplifting good note after the warning. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and be at ease without dread of disaster. Whoever listens to me, to wisdom, to Christ, will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. This is the offer of the gospel. To come to Christ is the beginning of wisdom. To be held secure in his hands, where nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. The beginning of real contentment. Not perfect contentment. We still live on this side of glory. But the beginning of real contentment. To be a daughter or a son of the King. Powerful king, a protective king, a king who will lead you with wisdom and power. It's not that you're not going to experience all the heartache and loss like everyone else in this life does. That's not what's being said here. Disaster comes to all of us at some point. But this is kind of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, the waters roar and foam. All of that is happening, but as a child of the King, you can dwell securely. When everyone else around you, maybe at your job or out in your groups of people that you're with in the markets, they're freaking out, but you're at ease because you're a child of the King. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease. Jesus says to build your house on the rock because the rains will fall, the storms will come, but the house on the rock will stand. So when disaster comes, the house stands. And I know many of you have been through that. You've lived and walked with the Lord, and disaster has come, and you stood. And you stood on the rock. You've lived this truth. You've seen the house stand in the day of trouble. And some of you are going to need that day of trouble to turn. And God is going to use that day of trouble to turn you to him. Your life, Christian, your life and your words are the wisdom calling in the streets and the marketplace. You are God's wisdom calling a foolish world to come. And many will mock, and many will laugh at you. But in the end, God has the last laugh. And we know that this fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But wisdom doesn't only call us to come to Christ. It teaches us to walk with him, to walk with Christ who is wisdom. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. We'll end with this. Look carefully then how you walk, speaking to Christians. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Friends, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it's not the end. Wisdom doesn't just call us to come to Christ. It teaches us to walk with him. And that's where you're going to be going, and our church is going to be going over the next 4 months. Just what does it mean as a Christian to walk with Christ? What does it mean as a Christian to live, to suffer? What do we do with our finances? How do we handle anger? How do we think about conflict? All of that is the wisdom that we're going to see in the rest of Proverbs. But that wisdom, although the fool who denies God can stumble into that wisdom from time to time, the man or woman who denies God is still a fool. The Lord, the fear of the Lord, Jesus Christ is the beginning of wisdom. If you are in Christ, you're no longer standing at that doorway. You have walked in. Now you walk with him carefully, intentionally, and lovingly. At this time, I'm going to invite Bob and Andrew up, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. And one of the ways in which we as Christians draw near to God, draw near to Christ, abide.